We'll bow together for a moment's prayer. Just in a moment or two, we're going to read the Word of God, come to the message in our special series. But let's turn aside again in prayer. Lord, we want to thank Thee for answered prayer. We've asked the Lord to be near, to be one of our number. We believe that that has been so. We thank Thee for helping us as we have sung together these hymns. We thank Thee for the Father's house, my Father's house on high. And we bless Thee for all the provision that has been made. Lord, we want to rejoice afresh in the gospel feast. The Lord says in His word, come, for all things are now ready. And we pray that that command will be obeyed, that there will be those in this meeting tonight that will obey it, that they will come. And Lord, should there be a prodigal, one that has wandered from Thee, weary of sin, weary of their disobedience, weary, O God, of their wanderings, we pray that You'll bring them back to the Father's house. We thank Thee for the welcome that awaits them there. We thank Thee for that beautiful story that we have in Luke chapter 15 that speaks about the prodigal coming home. O God, bring the prodigal home. Bless us in our message tonight as we come to think again about Peter. May Jesus Himself draw near in His word. May the Holy Spirit apply it to the heart. May help be given to the preacher. Lord, we abandon ourselves upon Thee. Oh, come down. Grant us, Lord, the outpouring of the Spirit. In Jesus' name. Amen. 22nd chapter of the Gospel of Luke. Let's turn on God's word as we come to our Bible reading. Luke chapter 22. Reading a few verses from verse 45. Take time to find the place. If you have your Bible with you, we trust that you have. And follow the reading. It's always good to do that. And you have your eyes working for you. You're able to see what we're reading. And with the hearing and with the seeing, we have two senses therefore working on our behalf as we listen to God's word tonight. Luke 22, verse 45. And when he rose up from prayer and was come to his disciples, he found them sleeping for sorrow, and said unto them, why sleep ye? Rise and pray, lest ye enter into temptation. And while he yet spake, behold, a multitude, and he that was called Judas, one of the 12, went before them and drew near unto Jesus to kiss him. But Jesus said unto him, Judas, betrayest thou the Son of Man with a kiss? When they which were about him saw what would follow, they said unto him, Lord, shall we smite with a sword? And one of them smote the servant of the high priest and cut off his right ear. And Jesus answered and said, suffer ye thus far. And he touched his ear and healed him. Then Jesus said unto the chief priests and captains of the temple and the elders which were come to him, be ye come out as against a thief with swords and staves? When I was daily with you in the temple, ye stretched forth no hands against me. But this is your hour and the power of darkness. Then took they him and led him and brought him into the high priest's house. And Peter followed afar off. The subject tonight is Peter, and Peter following afar off. And we trust that as we've read this passage of Scripture, where we have the expression given to us of him following afar off, that the Word of God has been a blessing and a challenge to you. It's good to be saved tonight. It's good to know where you stand. It's good to be able to say, it's well with my soul. We know who we belong to. Thank God we know where we're going. And we would not exchange place with any man in the world, no matter who that individual might be, no matter what position he has, no matter what wealth he possesses, no matter what status he has, no matter what pleasures he enjoys, we would not change places with any unconverted man. Tonight, if you're saved by the grace of God, we have the Lord, and we can say it as well with our souls. But how often we must mourn over the coldness of our hearts and the indifference of our spirits. Too often we are not what we ought to be. It's a very real experience to lose our zeal and enthusiasm, our joy and our peace, our dedication and faithfulness. Backsliding is a real experience, wandering from the fold, failing in our duties, lacking in our love, losing out with God. We mentioned this morning in passing the church at Ephesus that left its first love. It's so easy to leave your first love as a child of the Lord. And this can happen to a Christian. It can happen to the best of the Lord's people. It's sad, but it's real. Prone to wander, Lord, I feel it. Prone to leave the God I love. If I was to ask this evening in this service, where do you stand with the Lord? How is it with your walk as a child of God? Are you near to Christ? Have you left your first love? I wonder what your answer to these questions would be. Peter got himself into a situation that he never dreamed that he would ever be in. I believe that with all my heart. What we read about Peter here and what we go on to read about him in the chapter as he denies the Lord, he got into a place, into a position he never dreamt of. Peter was a chosen apostle of Christ. He enjoyed greater spiritual privileges than most men. He was undoubtedly a close friend and follower of the Savior. He was a stalwart of the faith. But we must always remember that Peter was just a man. An ordinary man, a mere man. He was a man of great force. By all accounts, he was coarse, homely, rugged, forward, and determined. Yet he was a man of variable impulses and of changeful moods. We sometimes call him impetuous Peter, acting rashly, acting quickly, acting without thinking. Under strong excitement, he stood firm as granite. But the quick heat might quickly be chilled, and then the granite crumbled. His judgment could not always be trusted. His great strength was sometimes his greatest weakness. His large, warm heart overmastered him at times. So let's come to the passage before us that tells us something about Peter. The 12 apostles have gathered together to celebrate the Passover. It is at that very feast the Lord Jesus Christ institutes the Lord's table, the Lord's Supper, the emblems of the bread and the cup, speaking of the body and blood of Christ, commanding them in the shadow of Calvary to remember him in his death, what he would shortly now accomplish for them and for all of his people. After they had eaten, they began to argue among themselves who would be the greatest among them. We read about it in this same chapter of Luke chapter 22. The Savior gently and firmly rebuked them for their carnal ambition. And then he tells Peter what Satan's intention was for him. That's what we looked at last Lord's Day evening. Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to have you that he may sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for thee that thy faith fail not. Peter, in his self-confident, impetuous nature, declared, as soon as the Savior spoke those words, Lord, I'm ready to go with thee all the way. That's what he was saying. No matter what I have to face, no matter what the cost might be, no matter what the trial, the affliction, Lord, I'm ready for it. I'm ready to go to prison. And I'm ready to die for the sake of the Savior. And of course he was well-meaning. I believe that Peter really meant what he said to the Lord. But the Lord foretold of Peter's denial. He said, "I tell thee, Peter, the cock shall not crow this day before thou shalt thrice deny that thou knowest me." Peter gave a very abrupt answer to the Lord. We read about it in the account given by Matthew in Matthew 26 and verse 35. Peter says to Jesus, "Though I should die with thee, yet will I not deny thee." Likewise said all the disciples. Jesus says, "Peter, you're going to deny me." And Peter abruptly replies, "Lord, no matter what happens, no matter what other men do, no matter what these other men do, these disciples, Lord, I'm not going to deny thee." The Lord led his disciples from the upper room eventually to the Mount of Olives. He took Peter, James, and John into the Garden of Gethsemane and exhorted them to pray. He himself went a little farther, the Bible says, about a stone's cast, and he kneeled down before his Father to commit his way unto the Lord and to commune with him and to enter into this time of agony of prayer, when he sweat, as it were, great drops of blood falling down to the ground. And when he returned to the disciples, he found them sleeping. He wakened them up and bid them to watch with him. He went away and prayed again. He came back. The disciples were sleeping again. And this he did another time, only to find them sleeping once more. Judas enters into the garden with a mob who carried swords and staves. He gave Christ the kiss of betrayal. When the mob laid hold of Jesus, Peter, in a burst of unwise zeal, drew a sword and cut off the ear of Malchus. We're going to look at that one of these Sabbath evenings. We want to see the vital lessons to be drawn when we think of what Peter did and when we think of Malchus. But Jesus told his disciples to put away their swords because the scriptures had to be fulfilled. His hour had now come. He must be taken. He must be led away. He must needs go to the cross and die for his people. Suddenly the disciples were filled with fear as their master is led away. Then all, the Bible says, all the disciples forsook him and fled. Every last man, all the 11 disciples who had remained faithful to the Lord. Judas is there. He has changed sides. He has betrayed the Lord. But the other men now all forsake him. And then Peter, of course, is particularly singled out. The Lord seems to deal with him as an individual through the whole story, although he's representative of the others. But the Lord singles out Peter, as you remember. "Behold, Satan hath desired to have you." He wanted to have all the disciples. That was his intention. But Peter is singled out. And Jesus prayed for him then. And now Peter singled out again. All the disciples fled, but Peter followed afar off. That statement is made concerning this particular apostle. Now I hear you tonight denouncing Peter for his actions. Maybe you would condemn him for his weakness, for his lack of courage and faithfulness. But are we any better? Would we have stood firm? Would we have shown any greater resolve to stand for the Lord on this occasion? Never forget, all the disciples forsook him and fled. And you say tonight, "Well, I would never have done that." Would you not? These were the best of men. There wasn't even one that stood with the Lord at this moment. All of them forsook and fled. It may be that in this meeting tonight we have someone who has professed the Lord in times past. You could look back to a time when you came to Christ, just like Peter did. You walked with the Lord for a time. There was evidence in your life that you were one of the Lord's children. But maybe you're just as guilty as Peter tonight because you're following afar off. And maybe I know nothing about that. And maybe your family knows nothing about that, or your friends. Maybe they do. But whatever the case, you're just like Peter tonight. You're following afar off. When you were first saved, you were full of zeal and enthusiasm. You were going to go through with Christ. Oh, all the way, even unto death. That's how you felt. Nothing would stop you in your resolute determination. But alas, if the truth be known, you're not what you once used to be. and you're far away from the Lord. Well, we want to take up this subject of following afar off as we have it here exemplified in the life of Peter. And may God speak to you all these centuries later. May the Lord speak to you tonight. I want to think about the meaning. What it means to follow afar off. If a believer is following afar off, he's not giving his affection to the Lord the way that he ought to. What does it mean to be close to the Lord? What does it mean to be near to him? Now, I want you to think about that this evening. I want you to think about all those things that should be the love and the desire of the Christian who's walking near to the Lord. I want you to try and see the picture that is being presented to us here. Peter's following afar off. We're asking the question as we approach the subject, what it is to be near to Christ. Without me just now telling you, and we're going to suggest some things, I want you to just sit for a moment and think of all those things that you believe characterizes a person that would be near to the Lord, walking close to the Lord. And I suppose it's bound up really in the word love, isn't it? Loving the Lord the way that we ought to love him. What's your love like tonight for the Savior? What's your love like for the person of Christ? What's your love for his word? You love the Bible the way you used to love the Bible? Do you still read it with the same diligence? What's your love for the place of prayer where you meet with the Lord at the throne of grace? What's your love for the house of the Lord as you come here on the Sabbath days and at other times through the week as well? What about those marks that are listed in the book of Galatians concerning the fruit of the Spirit? Surely, if we were to think of the fruit of the Spirit, if these characteristics, these marks were found in our lives in some degree, it would indicate surely that we were walking close with the Lord, because this is the fruit that ought to be found in the life of the Christian. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Are these the things that characterize us tonight, that would give that suggestion at least that we're near to the Lord, we're walking close by his side? We can say in the very depths of our heart, without contradiction, yes, Lord, I love thee. As Peter was able later on to make that confession when he was challenged about his love for the Lord. Because you see, following afar off was demonstrating that Peter didn't love the Lord the way that he once did. And certainly when he went on to deny him three times, it was not demonstrating the love that he should have had for the Lord. And later on, he's brought to confess his love three times for the Savior. I want you to note that Peter followed Christ, but he followed him afar off on this occasion. And you may still be following the Lord outwardly. You have every appearance that you're still treading the pathway after him. But if we could just know it tonight, if we could just see into your heart, you're following afar off. You're not walking as close to the Savior as when you first knew the Lord. You're not as zealous for the things of God as you used to be. You're not as warm and as affectionate and as dedicated to the Lord's work as years before. You're cold-hearted, spiritually dry and barren and maybe the word stagnant could even be written over your life tonight. You're following afar off. Could I ask some questions tonight? As I ask these questions, as always, I ask them to my own heart. As a child of God, there's no point in me asking questions to the congregation that I'm not prepared to put to my own heart. I ask the question this evening, do you love the Lord more today than, say, last month or last year? Or when you first came to know Christ as your Savior? Do you love the Lord more today? Sometimes sing a hymn on the lines of a verse, I love him better every day. Close by his side I will abide. I love him better every day. Do you love the Lord more tonight, child of God? than a year, 2 years ago, when you first came to the Lord, perhaps? Are you following afar off? Because you know in your heart you don't love the Savior the way that you used to. I wonder tonight, are you reading God's Word as frequently and with the same interest as you once did? Or are you following afar off in this regard? You used to relish meditating upon the Bible. You used to love gleaning through its pages. It was a pleasure to come to God's precious Word. And you were blessed and you were encouraged. And your heart was warmed and stirred many a time. And you met with God. You met with God in His Word. And He spoke to you and He counseled you. And He had something to say to you every day when you came to this book, when you opened its pages. But now the Scriptures are stale. They're uninteresting. And you don't get the same enjoyment from the study of God's Word. And you're not as keen to take down the Bible and to read it and to devour it the way that you once did. And maybe it's true to say you're following afar off in this regard. The Bible has not got the same attraction as it once had. And you're not getting the same out of God's Word as you once did. Another question is, are you praying as fervently as you used to? Or are you following afar off? You once counted it a great privilege to talk to God in prayer. You knew the value of such a season. Oh, the holy fellowship with the Almighty. You once cried and you pleaded and you wept and you wrestled with God. The secret place was a delightsome thing. Shutting the closet was a pleasurable experience. And you remember those times when you got alone with God. What a joy it was to draw near in prayer. And the freedom and the liberty that you enjoyed in those times. But you've lost out in your prayer life. And now it's only a duty. It's only a ceremony. It's just a ritual that you go through every day. And there's no real heart in it. Dear Christian, are you following afar off, just like Peter? Another question is, are you attending the house of God the way that you once did? The services on the Sabbath, the prayer meeting on a Thursday night. We sing the Psalm 122, I joyed when to the house of God go up, they said to me, Jerusalem, within thy gates our feet shall standing be. But it's lost its joy. It's lost its appeal. The house of God at one time was a magnet to your soul. It drew you, but not any longer. You knew the importance of worship. You felt the need of being in the house of God, but there's not the same attraction. And maybe it's a chore to come to God's house, and attendance is a mere duty. Oh, the slavishness of coming to the house of God in such a way. It's just revealing the state of your heart, following afar off. Another question that may be asked, do you take your stand boldly for the Lord in the midst of ungodly company? When you were first saved, or a little time afterwards, when the Lord gave you the courage and the strength to stand for Him, you were a witness to those that were the ungodly in the workplace, in school, in the neighborhood. You were not ashamed to own the Lord or to defend His cause. And whenever His name was trampled into the gutter, you were ready to stand up and speak a word in His behalf, but not any longer. And when that happens, you're silent and you say nothing. And when the things of God are despised by those around you, you don't stand up for the Lord and speak a word on His behalf. You're following afar off. Let us beware tonight of following afar off, of slipping back, of backsliding. As I said, it can come to the best of Christians. It can come so gradually, you don't even realize it's happening. You get accustomed and conditioned to it. You lose out bit by bit, stage by stage, step by step. You know, backsliding generally does not happen overnight. you give me any backslider. It didn't happen just overnight or in a day. Backsliding generally happens bit by bit. A believer begins to lose out. Begins to lose out in these very basic things that I've mentioned this evening. Loses out in prayer. Loses out in the study and the meditation of God's word. Loses out in his attendance at the house of the Lord. All these things that are the means of grace to help us go on with God the way that we should. And then when he begins to lose out in those little ways, it's not long before he even takes a great fall. We need to challenge our hearts. Are we following the Lord today as closely as we once did? Oh, for a closer walk with God, a calm and heavenly frame, a light to shine upon the road that leads me to the Lamb. Where is the blessedness I knew when first I saw the Lord? Where is the soul refreshing view of Jesus and his word? What peaceful hours I once enjoyed. How sweet their memories still. But they have left an aching void the world can never fill. We should determine within our hearts to follow Christ. To follow him fully. As close to his precious wounded side as it's possible to be. But there's something else that needs to be said tonight. The reason for following afar off. What usually induces a person to follow in such a way? Well, very often, it's not always the case, but often it's for the reason that we read about here tonight in God's word. The fear of man. It seems to have been the case with Peter, and certainly with the other men that forsook the Lord at this point. There were several steps that led to Peter walking at a distance. There was his pride, self-confidence. Though all men denied Christ, he boasted, "I'll never deny you." He was ready to go with the Savior to prison if needs be, into death itself, and he meant it. But you know, it was a self-confident boast. He was not trusting in God's grace. He was trusting in the flesh. And we need to beware of a pride, self-confidence. It overtook Peter. And then, of course, another step was there was an ease in spiritual duties. He neglected prayer. When his master said, "Pray that ye enter not into temptation," he gave way to drowsiness and he fell asleep. Not once, but again. Not twice, but another time. At least three times when the Savior said, "I want you to watch with me. I want you to pray with me." He and the others fell asleep. Has it ever happened to you, child of God? It's happened to me. We've got before the Lord in prayer, and just like Peter, tiredness took over, and the next thing we knew, we wakened up from sleep, and we weren't praying at all. We need to take care. Take care that we don't follow afar off when our strength has not been renewed in the place of prayer. That's where we get our strength from. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. Need to stay awake in the place of prayer. If it's in the secret place, I sometimes say to God's people, pray aloud. That can help you stay awake, providing you're not disturbing anybody else around you. Or even stand to your feet. It's harder to sleep on your feet than it is when you're maybe kneeling or sitting. Or walk around. But stay awake in the place of prayer. Ask God to help you. In the place of prayer, there was pride, self-confidence, there was ease in spiritual duties, and there was this rashness in Peter. When the enemies of Christ came, Peter first drew his sword and he fought, and then he ran away. He misunderstood the mind and the will of God, and he was out of order in what he did. He displayed unwise zeal by this rashness of his character. And therefore, when it came to the stage when he should have stood up for the Lord, he followed afar off. And this was due to the fear of man. There was no real excuse for it. It doesn't seem that he was in personal danger at this moment. All he had to fear was a momentary contempt from the servants and the soldiers. But he was afraid of the mocking and the sneering. He was so brave in meeting the swords and the staves, but so fearful in meeting the sneers and the taunts. And the fear of man bringeth a snare. Men frequently forsake Christ and follow afar off because they fear They fear what the ungodly will say, what they might suffer at the hands of the unconverted. There is a temptation to follow the Lord at a distance when among our ungodly family members, or perhaps in the workplace, or in our school. And we feel to stand for the Lord, and consequently we follow afar off. In the early centuries, God's people did not only suffer verbal abuse, but often they faced torture, imprisonment, and death. When the storms of persecution broke over the primitive church, they were asked to recant their beliefs, to deny Christ, to take part in public festivals of pagan gods, to cast a little incense before the statue of the emperor. And when they hesitated, they were shown the chains with which others had been bound, and some of them taken to the lions. And then many of them forsook Christ and fled, just like the disciples here. During the Reformation, there were a number of strong and devout men who stood for the Lord in the midst of persecution and against the authorities of that day. When they saw the frown of the Roman powers, when all hell seemed to be against them, when the fires of St. Andrew's were lit, there were those that stood firm, but there were others and they fell away. And we understand it on a human level. The fear of man gripped their souls. You know, today we're not faced with outright slaughter. We're not faced with what the early Christians in the early centuries had to face. Torture. Thrown to the lions, to the wild beasts. Some of them had tar poured upon them, and they were lit up just to simply illuminate the city of Rome at night. We're not called upon to be burnt at the stake the way that the reformers were. All that we may have to encounter is the laughs and the taunts and the mockery of the ungodly world. And yet, because of fear, there are some who follow afar off. Is that you tonight? Are you afraid of what your family might say? What your friends might say if you followed close to the Lord? If you stood up for Him? If you owned Him? Oh, that we would stand up for Jesus as soldiers of the cross. Then finally, I want you to think about the result of following afar off. What was the outcome of it all? Well, for one thing, Peter got into the wrong company. Do you see it there in verse 55? Peter followed afar off, and when they had kindled a fire in the midst of the hall and were set down together, Peter sat down among them. He went into the house of the high priest, and he sat down among the servants by the fire, trying to conceal his faith in Christ, trying to conceal who he really was, a disciple, a follower of the Lord. You fail to follow the Lord the way that you should. You fail to take your stand for Him the way that you ought to. You fail to own Him as your Lord. And it's not long, listen to me, it's not long before you find yourself in undesirable company. You get into the wrong company, I'll tell you this, they're going to bring you further away from God than you ever dreamed. When you begin to follow afar off, you'll get into the wrong company, just like Peter. The other thing that happened to Peter is that he denied the Lord three times. We will come back to this, but you have the account from verse 56 onwards. Three times, with oaths and cursings, I know not the man. This was the ultimate result. He was overwhelmed with fear when charged with being a disciple. The snare was around his neck. He could not escape. He plunged deeper and deeper into error than ever. He denied his blessed Savior three times. So let's beware of following afar off. We never know how deep we may fall if we leave the side of the Savior. The Christian that begins to say of any sin, of any evil habit, it's just a little one, he's walking on dangerous ground. He's sowing seeds in his heart, which one day will spring up and bear bitter fruit. It is a familiar saying, and many of you will know it tonight. If you look after the pence, the pounds will take care of themselves. Well, if we could just borrow that little saying and put a spiritual application on it and a lesson on it, we would say the Christian who keeps his heart diligently in the little things shall be kept from the great falls. We need to guard ourselves against the world and the evil that surround us, making inroads into our lives, causing us to lose out with God in prayer, in Bible study, in love for God and His work. If the devil can succeed in drawing us away from these spiritual activities, he will. If he can prevent us from our quiet time, seeking the Lord, he will. If he can keep us from witnessing and progressing in the Christian life, he will. And then we're walking afar off, and only God knows what will become of us. The greatest and the highest saint is a poor, weak creature, even at best. Whether he knows it or not, he carries within him an almost boundless capacity of wickedness. There are no depths of sin into which he may fall if he does not watch and pray and fails to trust in the grace of God to uphold him. When we read about the falls of Noah and Lot and David, Solomon and Peter, we're only reading what might possibly befall any one of us tonight in this meeting. Never presume, never think it's beyond us, that we'll never fall. It can happen. Whatever else we pray for, let us daily pray that we might walk humbly with God and be kept by the power of God through faith. Need to follow close to the Savior. Jesus, keep me near the cross. We can only stay close to His side by keeping our eyes steadfast upon Him, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, considering Christ in His person and work, fixing our gaze upon Him every day. We can only stay close to His side in our meditation and prayer, being diligent in maintaining these very basic things of the Christian life. That's the only thing that will make us strong in the Lord and the power of His might. We can only stay close by His side by being filled with the Holy Spirit of God. When Peter was filled with God's Spirit from Pentecost, it made a difference in his life. He was no longer afraid and timid, but bold and fervent. And you read the history that's given to us there in the Acts of the Apostles, and you'll see that to be so. How are you following the Lord tonight, dear Christian? How are you following Him? Close? The way that it ought to be? Or afar off? The way we find Peter in this history. If you're following afar off, it's time to get back. God knows where you'll end up if you don't. May the Lord come tonight and speak to your heart. May He draw you back to your first love. May you see the Savior afresh in all that He means or ought to mean to you as a child of God. May you feel His touch in your life again. Don't follow the Lord afar off. Let's seek to walk closely by the Lord every day.